Okay. I'm going to take one more week to discuss the inyan of a bracha. I know that we've spent 2 weeks already on an inyan of a bracha, but it's really important to understand the structure of a bracha and understand why we make brachos before we begin getting into the siddur itself, because so much of the siddur is a bracha. So the first week we had an introduction, we discussed Moda'ani, and then in the second week we discussed what it means to say the word Baruch, and the third week we discussed the idea of why we make a bracha. Now let's go through the matbeah of a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. What exactly are we saying when we say those words? No matter what the bracha is for, there are some basics that every bracha has to have. Whether it's at the beginning or the end of the tefillah, there has to be the words Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. And again, we can go back and review the Shir Man Baruch regarding this first and most important word, but let's get into the particulars of all the different parts of those words. So the word after Baruch is Atah. The word Atah is an elemental component in all brachos. Many brachos, whether they open with Baruch or whether they are what we call Samach Lechaverta, we'll talk about that in the future, when you have a series of brachos one after another, that open with the word Atah as well, right? So, for example, we say Atah Gibor, we say Atah Kadosh, Atah Chonein, Atah Kidashta, Atah Bechartanu. All these different times we begin with the word Atah, Yu Hashem. This is included in brachos of Bakasha. We conclude, right, Ki Atah Shomea, Atah Atah Atah, directing at Hashem. The essence of a bracha is that a Jew is standing in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and giving honor and praise on what he is seeing or experiencing at that time, as we discussed last week. Nevertheless, we do find a machlokas in the Yushalmi and Brachos in the 9th chapter as to whether all Brachos have to contain the word Atah. Look at the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says, Rav Amar Tzarech Lomar Atah, and Shmuel Amar Eino Tzarech Lomar Atah. Rav says you have to say the word Atah in a Bracha, and Shmuel says you don't. Now, there's a different version of the Yerushalmi. We have a different girsa as well. The Machlokas, it says, is Rav Amar Tzarech Lomar Atah, Shmuel Omer Tzarech Lomar Elokeinu. Regardless, for our discussion, according to one of the commentaries in the Yerushalmi, this is the Rash Cyrillia, which is printed on the page of the Yerushalmi, there is a Machlokas whether one needs to say Atah in a bracha. Okay, the Ramban, the Abu Draham said there's no Machlokas. Regardless, look here at the Medrash in Tehillim. The Medrash in Tehillim on Perek Tazayin has the famous pasuk that we find in many of our shuls, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdei Sami, that Hashem is before me at all times. I'm a Rav. Look, here comes Rav, the person we said before in the Yerushalmi. Adam Lomar Bisha Shemavarach Baruch Atah Hashem Ushmul Amar Baruch Hashem. Again, a machlokus over the word Atah. So, how do we paskin? Well, the Divrei Chamudos, in the end of Brachos and Perek Tes, notes that the Talmud Bavli doesn't cite this machlokas. The Talmud Bavli makes no mention of the statements of Rav or Shmuel whether a bracha needs to have the word Atah. And this implies that according to the Bavli, if one doesn't say Atah or Elokeinu, you have fulfilled the bracha b'di'eved. And this is the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Reisha, Dal, and Sifkas, and Gimel, that if you just say, Baruch Melech HaOlam b'di'eved, the Baruch Hashem Melech HaOlam, the bracha is kasher. Atah and Elokeinu are not mandatory in a bracha. B'di'eved, if you left out the words Atah and Elokeinu, the bracha would still be good. Obviously, that's not ideal. The Shiboli Aleket writes in his Seder HaBrachot Simen Kuf Samechei that the machlokus in Rav and Shmuel is a machlokus in the very foundation in the takana of a bracha. Should brachos be said, and this will be the essence of what we're going to talk about tonight, belashon nochach or belashon nister? Lashon nochach is what we call, this is not to cause any scars of high school English, but lashon nochach is what we call second person. Second person is when your language is directed at the person you're speaking about. So in Hebrew, at, ata, atem, aten, right? That's second person. Lashon nister is what we call third person in English, when you speak about another person, or in Hebrew, who, he, heim, hein, them. The answer to this debate is that we do both. right? How do we structure bracha? Are we talking directly to Hashem or are we talking about Hashem? And the answer is we do both. We compromise and use both in our brachas. We say atah, and we also say asher kiddushanu, who has sanctified us, without referencing Hashem directly. And we'll return to this dichotomy in a moment. We should note that in brachos we find in the Torah, there's never the use of the word atah, which probably might be one of the reasons why it's not mandatory. Any single time you find somebody giving a bracha in the Torah, never do they use the word atah. For example, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem. Later in Bereishis, Ubaruch Kel Elyon Asher Magen Avraham. Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Adoni Avraham. Baruch Hashem, says Eliezer, the God of my master Avraham. In Shmos, it says, Baruch Hashem Bayisro Asher Hitzil Aschem Miyad Mitzrayim Miyad Paro. It doesn't say Baruch Atah Hashem, it says Baruch Hashem. Now, it could be only Klal Yisrael, after receiving the Torah, use the word Atah, because we have uniqueness in a relationship with Hashem. Okay, now, what is this nature of the word Atah, and how powerful it is that we have the permission to directly address Hashem with the word Atah? It's clear to everybody what the word Atah means. Baruch gets a whole half hour shiur, but the word Atah is very clear. You, in the Sichos of the Chafetz Chaim, it's noted that the Chafetz Chaim said that we know there's a lot of debate at the word Baruch. Again, go back to the shiur on Baruch to understand all the different reasons of Machlokas about what it means. However, the whole world agrees, whether you're a kid learning Hebrew for the first time, or you're the biggest Talmid Chacham, the biggest Mekubel in the world, everybody agrees that Atah means Atah. Atah means that you're speaking directly to Hashem, according to all opinions. This is elaborated in a beautiful way by the Yisod Rishon Shavoda. Yisod Rishon Shavoda is Alexander Ziskind, who was of the generation of the Vilna Gaon. And he writes in his Sefer on Tefillah, the Yisod Rishon Shavoda, "K'sheyomar Baruch Ata," when you say Baruch Ata, "Yitzayir b'machshavaso kilu mamish omer brachazu keneged habor yisparach," you must imagine in your mind that you are blessing Hashem directly in front of him, "v'yisalel enochach," directly, like you're talking to your friend. Kiloshon Baruch Atah Mora Alzeh, because that is what you're doing. You're talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zechiv gadol al kol adam b'chol ha-tfilos. It is mandated in tefillah. U'v'chol ha-shvachim in praises of Hashem. V'lo yeshum dibur yotzi mipiv me'avodos ha-bar yisparach v'yisalek ha-mitzvos ha-nashim b'lomda. When you make a bracha, you're not like a robot. You have to think, Rachman al-Etzlan, to not say a bracha out of habit. Rak l'nocha chabor yisparach. How often do you daven Shemona Esrei and forget that you're talking to Hashem? It happens all the time, unfortunately. We think about all these things, but we forget the most important thing. The most important thing about a bracha is that you're talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To make a bracha and not have that is a waste of a bracha. Ki malei kol aretz kvodo, Hashem is everywhere. U'mi she'eno mechavin u'metzayir machshavoso, k'mashmos habracha shomer v'negdo yisbrach mamash l'nochach, baru l'kol bar shekol bracha zuki ilu l'barachal. It's as if it's a bracha l'vatala. To make a bracha and not realize you're talking to Hashem is as if a bracha l'vatala. V'on shel gadol, your sin is great. Shebital bracha shetiktum ha'shekdes ha'gadola, v'gar me'edar ha'nachas me'abar yisparach, and you've taken away nachas from Hashem. To not realize when you make a bracha, whether it's on water, or whether it's birchas ha'torah in the morning, you are talking to Hashem, and that is the importance of baruch atah, you directly in front of Hashem. Now, one of the earliest questions that people have, or should have about brachos, is why we begin with Lashon Nochach, second person, directly addressing Hashem, and then we turn to Lashon Nistar, speaking about Hashem. We flip in the middle of a bracha. The truth is that you're not the first person. Now, the Tshuva Chassam Sofer doesn't see an issue. He says that it's normal for people to switch back and forth between second and third person in language all the time, but the commentaries do discuss the discrepancy. The yesod of this discussion is the tshuva of the Rashba in Chelek Hei and Siman Nun Beis. Again, the Rashba died in 1310, around 1310. So this is a question that's, you know, already, you know, 700 years in the making, this question. And he begins by noting that there is a lofty idea in Kabbalah that explains this idea. However, he says, that's not for us. I'll give you the simple idea. And the simple idea is as follows. There are two foundational ideas that are the source of everything in Judaism. And the first is that Hashem is the essence of all reality and the source of all being. That's one. I think we can all agree to that. The second is that we can never fathom that reality. We're always balancing and walking this tightrope. Hashem is the infinite and source of everything, but you can never understand it. And this is the balance that we have all the time. Hashem is everywhere, but you can never understand him. And therefore, our brachos reflect that feeling. Baruch atah, to show that Hashem is well known and available, as if we're speaking to him panim el panim, face to face. However, to show that we don't truly understand the reality of what it means to have Hashem, and we can never truly relate to Hashem, we say Asher Kedushanu in the third person. It's this movement of in and out, close and away. And that's what a bracha is doing. We're reflecting that we're being close to Hashem, but we're also reflecting that we can never really be close to Hashem at the same time. Rabbeinu Bachya writes the same idea. The Avudraham in his Parish on the Siddur similarly explains Hashem is nochach, Hashem is nisr, he's here but also distant, revealed in his actions, hidden in his godliness. The neshama is also hidden and revealed. We know we have a neshama, but we can't see it. And therefore the neshama, as we say in davening, Baruch Nafshi Yas Hashem, V'chol Karavai Hashem Kadsho, our neshama, which is also hidden and revealed, makes a bracha to Hashem who's hidden and revealed. Rechaim V'lajin, in Shar Beis, and the discussion we had regarding the word Baruch, takes the same approach. He gives a whole explanation al pi Kabbalah, but all the same school of thought. Our brachos reflect second and third person because of this coming close and being distant. Understanding Hashem, but not understanding Hashem. The second approach is Rav Tzadok HaKohen. Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in the beginning of his Tzidkas HaTzadok in Os Beis, and also in his Dover Tzedek, that Lashon Nochach is meant to teach us that Hashem is standing over us, commanding us to do the mitzvos with Yirah Shemayim. That Hashem is forcing us and pushing us to do the Ratzon Hashem. Then we move to Lashon Nister, hidden, and we move away from this idea, because we can't constantly be in the state of being Omer Lefnei Hashem. Human beings cannot function with that intensity of always being close, close, close to Hashem. Right? We find that Hashem, as the Gemara in Chagiga says, is nogea, noga veino noga. He's available but not available. He's constantly fluctuating of being revealed and hidden in the world. It's this movement of being intensely close to Hashem, but then saying, it's too much, the fire's too hot, I need to move away. We get really intense and then we move away. And this is what it means to make a bracha of Lashon Nochach Anistar, Baruch Atah, close to Hashem, but then again backing up and say, Elokeinu Melech Olam, we can't really fathom. The Shibali Aleket taught us again before that the dichotomy stems from the above machlokes in Rav and Shmuel regarding the word Atah. And we are Yotzei both understandings in our relationship with Hashem, right? When we make a bracha, we are meditating on the idea, Baruch Atah Hashem Hashem, you're right there with me, we're very close. But at the same time, I'll never understand what that means. And that's what we're saying when we say, Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay, let's move on to the next part of the bracha. Again, just to review, Baruch Atah Hashem. Now, we're going to skip Elokeinu for a second, but then we get to the next important part, which is Melech HaOlam. Says the Gemara in Brachos, if you're looking inside of the short source sheet, sorry, what's the reason for addressing a Rebbe in third person in light of the fact that we refer to Hashem sometimes in second person? Because the idea of addressing, you know, someone who's great in Torah in third person is a sign that you are not directly related. Correct. What we do with Hashem is all based on levels of Kabbalah and Pnimius regarding how Hashem manifests himself everywhere. We don't function that way when we talk about human beings. So when we talk to other human beings and we refer to a Rosh Yeshiva, a rabbi, whatever it is, so we refer in that sense of third person, just out of respect, out of coverage to that person. But we're not in that same dichotomy of, you know, being close but far away. It's not the same essence when we talk about, you know, a great person versus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Says the Gemara Brachos Mem Amad Beis. Nobody could see that question because it was just to me privately. If you have a question, if you want everybody to see it, you can put it in the chat. Okay. Amar Rav, Kol Bracha Shein Ba Haskaras Hashem. Any bracha that doesn't have Hashem's name, ain't a bracha, is not a bracha. V'Rav Yochanan Amar, Kol Bracha Shein Ba Malchus Ain a Bracha. Any bracha that doesn't mention that Hashem is the king of the world is also not a bracha. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, Kevasei de Rav Mistabra de Tanya. I think that Rav is correct, as it was taught in Tosefta, that by vidui meiser, when a person brings his meiser and he says that he finished tithing everything in his house, the person says lo avarti mitzosech velo shachachti. And the meaning of lo avarti is milavarechacha. I did not refrain from making the bracha when I was separating meiser. And the meaning of velo shachachti, I did not forget, is that milazkir shimcha alav. I didn't forget to mention your name in the bracha when I said it. Ve'ilu malchus lo katani. But the Braisa doesn't teach us that you have to say malchus. And therefore, apparently, according to Rav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, saying Hashem is king of the world is not an integral part of the bracha. Comes Rabbi Yochanan Tani, v'lo shachachti, milhaskir shimcha malchus echalav. Rabbi Yochanan would say, you should amend the Braisa to say that I didn't forget, lo shachachti, I didn't forget your name and your malchus. Meaning he reads the Braisa to support his opinion, which is that you have to say Hashem is king of the world. Okay. Why should I have to say Hashem is king of the world? What's the point of that? So that's Yushalmi and Brachos as well. The Yushalmi says, Rabbi Zeir of Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rav, kol bracha shema, shema malchus, ain't a bracha. If you don't have Hashem's name and Hashem's kingship, then it's not a bracha. Amar Rabbi Tanchuma, says Rabbi Tanchuma, the author of the famous Medrash Tanchuma, that's where the name comes from. Ana Amar Tama, why? Because it's a pasuk in Ashrei. Aro mimcha Elokai HaMelech. I will praise you, Hashem the Melech. So we see from David HaMelech that when we praise Hashem, it must be Elokai HaMelech, that Hashem is God, but He's also the King. The Taz, the famous commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a commentary on Rashi, a super commentary as we call. We're familiar with the Maharal's commentary and the Sifsei Chachamim, but the Taz wrote something called the Divrei David, a beautiful sefer on Rashi. So he writes the end of Devarim, in Perek Chavav Pasuk Gimel, that the Nusach HaBracha is Min HaTorah. We see that it says, HaRamimcha Elokai HaMelech, that we see that David HaMelech is telling us that from the Torah, you need to say Hashem and Malchus. However, the Mizrahi and the Maharal understand that the pasuk is referring to general praise of Hashem, but the matbeya, the structure of the bracha, is midrabban. And the Maharsha, the Tosfos Yontif, and Maaser Sheni Parakei also understand that the Gemara means that brachos are midrabbanan. Okay, Tosfos there in brachos says that if you skip the word haolam, you're not yotze because there's no king without a melech. You have to say melech haolam. The Shilta Gibarim on the Rif discusses this as well. And what's the halacha? Do you need to say that Hashem is melech haolam? So you need to say melech, that's for sure. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Yud Daled that saying melech without olam is not sufficient. It's not sufficient. And the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim writes that based on the above pasuk, aramim chalokai melech, that it is not essential to say the formula of melech haolam. Right? It doesn't say aramim chalokai melech haolam. It says, I'll praise you Hashem and the King. But the word haolam is not essential. And this says the Chafetz Chaim, that for hamelech, you wouldn't need to repeat. But for simple melech, you would. If you say that Hashem is baruch ata Hashem hamelech and the King, then that shows that He is the King of Kings. But if you just say baruch ata Hashem melech and you don't say olam, that just says He's a King and not the King, and therefore would not be sufficient at the end of the day. And therefore, we've shown Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech HaOlam, how they fit in. Very good. We skipped on Elokeinu. The Mishnah Berurah there in Reish Yud Daled writes that if you mention only one, either Hashem or Elokeinu, right, we know you have to say Shem Hashem in a bracha, you're Yotze the bracha. If I mention that Hashem is Yudke Vavke, or that Hashem is Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Nun Vav, Elokeinu, then you're fine. However, this is obviously a bidyeved. That's obviously not ideal, because the matbeya, the structure of the bracha made by Chazal, contains both. And the Mishnah Berurah seems to imply that Elokeinu falls under the category of shame. Either you refer to God as Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Shem Havaya, or you refer to Hashem, God, as Elokeinu. However, there are those who mention the possibility that Elokeinu is really part of Malchus. It's a description of Hashem being the King. The Steichema discusses this, but we'll leave that for right now. The name Elokeinu is not the same as Elokim, and this is what we really want to focus on for right now. Be mindful of the fact that when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, we are not saying Baruch Atah Hashem We are not saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim. The name Elokim and Elokeinu is not the same, because we are indicating that Hashem is the God of the Jewish people. The Jewish people specifically versus the rest of the world. Our special relationship with Hashem. The Vilna Gaon in the Aderes Eliyahu, Sefer in Parshas Devarim, writes that there are three things going on with Hashem's name in a bracha. And he says as follows. There is first Nister, right? The idea that Hashem cannot be understood. We cannot understand his essence. And that is the name of the Shem Havaya, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, right? That is the name of Hashem, Hashem's essence that we cannot understand. And we're reflecting on that idea when we make a bracha. The second idea, says the Vilna Gaon, is that Hashem is Nigla, Hashem is revealed. We see his Hashkacha, we see him running the world, we see his hand in everyday actions, and that is Melech HaOlam. Baruch Ata Hashem, who is hidden, Melech HaOlam, but who's also revealed in the world. And then, says the Vilna Gaon, we make a second comment about Hashem being revealed, that he shows a special Hashkacha Pratis, a special relationship with the Jewish people, for Klal Yisrael, and that is Elokeinu. So says the Vilna Gaon, in those short words, again, I think we've shown in the last three classes, there's a lot to think about when we say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. A person who's just breezing through that and says Baruch Hashem Melech HaOlam is obviously missing out on something. There's a lot to say in those three words. There's a lot in those six or seven words. There's a lot to meditate on. That's why brachos need to be recited slowly. Again, are we at the stage where, you know, like we're the Amshin of a Rebbe, or we're like, you know, big Mikubam, or we're constantly meditating, you know, for 30 seconds on each word? Oh, we're not quite there yet. But it definitely demands of us to slow down to think, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. That, at least, is what we need to do. Because says the Vilna Gaon, when you say Elokeinu, you need to think of a third aspect, that Hashem is being Mashkiach specifically on the Jewish people. And therefore, Baruch Atah Hashem, that we can't understand. Elokeinu, who also takes care of the Jewish people. Melech HaOlam, but also reveals himself to the whole world. All of those ideas, says the Gra, are going on in a single bracha. With that, let's come to a conclusion over here. We explained a couple of weeks ago in the shiur regarding the inyan of the word baruch, or the shiur regarding the inyan of a bracha in general, that the point of a bracha is to connect creation and to how we experience creation to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to relate this world that it comes from Hashem. So for example, right, we said, when you make a birchas hanen and a bracha on a food, you connect the pleasure that you're experiencing with that food and reminding you that this apple comes from Hashem. You make a bracha of Shevach, you heard lightning or thunder, so you want to say, Shekoch of Gerasa Malay Olam. You're saying to Hashem, Hashem, this experience, this wonder, this amazing thing in the world, this comes from you. That's the point of a bracha. Rav Tzedek HaKohen writes in the Dover Tzedek, Kol bracha hi hakaras Shem Shemayim. It is a recognition that there's a God. Nochach Einav, who is present in front of us, Ladas Meitziva V'kein Mi Gazarkein, to tell us who commands you to do this mitzvah, or who told you that this thing should happen, right? If you're going to come to light Shabbos candles this week, and you're going to say, Asher Kedushanu M'Sosa V'Tzivanu, what you should be thinking is, Hashem commanded me to light Shabbos candles. That's what you're thinking. You're connecting the mitzvah to the being that commands you to do it. The connection between the essence of Hashem and the reality of how we experience Hashem is referred to in Kabbalah, in works of Kabbalah, as Yichud Kudsh Brichu V'Shchintei, the unification between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina. The Shechina means how Hashem manifests himself in this world. Right? We talk about the Shechina resting on the Mishkan, the Shechina resting on the Beis HaMikdash, Hashras HaShechina. What that means is the presence of Hashem, how it manifests itself in this world. When a person brings these realities together, and you connect the intimacy and the hiddenness of Hashem that you can't understand to the way that Hashem is a reality in this world, how Hashem, you know, manifests himself in the world around us, then that creates a shefa bracha, creates a goodness and a positivity in this world, in the upper realms that flow down to this world. It does good things. Can I explain to you why exactly this happens? No, that's above my pay grade. But I will tell you that according to all books of Machshava, that it's a good thing. When a person meditates and connects the idea that Hashem, who is beyond our understanding, is the same being who brings everything into this world, it does good things for the world. This concept of mentioning both shame and malchus in every bracha is the same idea. You have to say that Hashem has a yudke vavke, we can't understand him, the essence of Hashem, but also he's melech haolam. And when you make a bracha, you're doing that at the same time. The Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah in the Perush and Shir HaShirim explains kol bracha sheim bo shem malchus in this fashion as well. Any bracha that doesn't have shem malchus, any bracha that doesn't connect the thought that Hashem is beyond our understanding, but at the same time he runs this world, is missing out on a lot of good stuff. The Tzemach Tzedek of Chabad and the Sefer Likutim has a discussion as well regarding Mea Brachos, not for right now. But I just want to end with a story. A kind of a story. In the Tshuvas Divrei Pinchas, in Chelek Aleph and Simon Beis, so the author, who's a Rav, I think he's the Rav of the Hague. No, is he the Rav of the Hague? He's a Rav in Europe, in one of the communities in Europe. So he cites something that he heard from Rav Yaakov Landau. Rav Yaakov Landau was the Av Basin of Bnei Brak. He was a Lubavitcher Chassid, who also happened to be the Av Basin of Bnei Brak, which is historically quite a miraculous thing, because Bnei Brak is not exactly the warm and fuzzy home to Chabad Hasidus in general, but he's the Av Basin of Bnei Brak. His son took over the position, and he passed away last year, Rav Landau II, who was famous in Eretz Yisrael, I think, for the giving Hashkach on Coca-Cola. And so he said, Rav Yaakov Landau said that he heard the following idea from Rav David Reich. Who's Rav David Reich? Rav David Reich is the son of Rav Meshulam, or Rav Shillam Reich, who is the son-in-law of Rav Baruch Shalom Schneerson, who is the son of the Tzemach Tzedek. Okay? So we're a lot of steps away, right? The Tzemach Tzedek, who was one of the Rebbes of Chabad, had a son who didn't become a Rebbe, Rav Baruch Shalom Schneerson, and his son-in-law was Rav Meshulam Reich, and Rav Meshulam Reich's son told this to Rav Yaakov Landau, who told us the author of Divrei Pinchas, and now I'm telling it to you. What happened? Rav Meshulam Reich was close with the Chedushei Harim, the Ger Rebbe. And one day, they would often talk and learning in Chassidus, share ideas of Chabad and ideas of the Ger Rebbes and his line of Kutsk, and they would share different ideas. And one day, the Chedushei Harim asked Rav Meshulam Reich to explain the Matbeah HaBracha, the structure of a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, based on Chassidus. How does Chassidus explain these ideas? And in turn, Rav Meshulam Reich explained to the Chedushei Harim the inyan of a bracha based on the concept of Yichud Hashem, that the purpose of a bracha is to connect and unify the message of Hashem that we cannot understand, that which was beyond our understanding, to the same being who brings everything into this world. That meditation. He explained every single word based along the lines as we have kind of, you know, given a general understanding. When the Chedushei Harim heard this, he exclaimed the brilliance of the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya, the first Rebbe of Chabad, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. Look how brilliant his Siddur is. Why? What's so brilliant about the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya? So, in the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya, he does not put a L'shem Yichud. For those of you who daven Nesach Sfard, those of you who certainly are into Chassidus, so by Chassidim, every single mitzvah has a L'shem Yichud. It's this paragraph that invokes Kabbalistic ideas that you say whether you understand it or you don't understand it. You probably, by a show of hands, I guess we could take a show of hands, how many people say L'shem Yichud before Sfiras Omer? Yes? Some people say yes, some people don't. So L'shem Yichud Many people say before Sefiras Omer, there's a very big machlokas between the Nodes of Yehuda, who's against saying L'Shem Yichud, and the Hasidim. That's a shiur for another time regarding the history of L'Shem Yichud and the controversy around it. But you would think, in the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya, this great Mekubal, this Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov and the Magen of Mezrich, there'd be L'Shem Yichud, all this Kabbalistic incantations before every single mitzvah. But that's not the case. It's only before mitzvos that don't have a bracha beforehand. But every mitzvah in the Siddur of the Baal HaTanya that has a bracha before that mitzvah, there's no L'Shem Yichud. Why? So says the Chiddush Yarim, it makes sense. Because according to the Baal HaTanya, according to the way you understand what a bracha is, every bracha is a L'Shem Yichud. Every bracha is a unification of bringing Hashem into this world and showing that Hashem runs the world and is behind every single thing. And therefore, I don't need a special, fancy, Kabbalistic paragraph before a mitzvah when I'm making a bracha on that mitzvah, because a bracha does the same thing. A bracha, when done properly, a bracha, when recited properly, is a meditation on how Hashem runs the world, how Hashem brings reality to this world, even though we can't understand the essence of Hashem. Because that's what a bracha is all about, and that's what the matbeah, the form of a bracha, is meant to do. And therefore, there's no reason for the Baal HaTanya to make a L'Shem Yichud before mitzvahs that have a bracha. So, ad kan. We've done 3 shirim on a bracha. Be'ezus Hashem, I make no promises, because to tell you the truth, you know, during these times of a lot of davening b'yichidus for myself, now I have the Baruch Hashem, the time to daven slower and to take time to think about things I haven't thought about before and to notice things I haven't noticed before. And, you know, it gives you a lot of fodder of things to think about when it comes to tefillah and the Siddur. So I guess I had a lot to say, a lot of things to think about when it came to just saying the words Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. So Be'ezus Hashem, unless something occurs to me, you know, between now and next Wednesday night that I don't know about. So Be'ezus Hashem, will try to continue into the Siddur itself. You're encouraged to bring next time a Siddur, you know, with you to see what we're going to be talking about and to hopefully take advantage of that. Okay, we will end here for the evening. If any